You know, we've been looking at name above all names, the name of Jesus right the way through Revelation. I don't know how you found this series. I would actually really love to know, actually. It'd be really interesting. But before we kind of get into it, I just want to share something that's kind of touched me about this series, that something that's just made me really excited and really happy. And it's the fact that we've looked at all these names, the Alpha and Omega, the Living One, the Lion of Judah, the Faithful and True, the Word of God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Root and Offspring of David. Today we're doing the Bright Morning Star, and probably the most importantly, we've looked at the Lamb. But and each one of these we've taken and we've expanded and we've had a look at what it means to us that Jesus is named each of these things. But what really blows my mind is that this, even though it's the end of our series, this is just scratching the surface of who Jesus is. Like, that is amazing. That is awesome. You know, Jesus is, we've been looking at the book of Revelation, but Jesus is the revelation of God. He is everything it is to be God in human form. And so he is the fullness of God, full revelation of God. Yet it will take us all our lives and longer to fully understand how good he is. You know, this is just the start. And that just makes my heart happy. It just makes me so excited that there is still a lifetime of learning who Jesus is ahead of us. Anyway, let's focus today on the last name that we find in Revelation, the Bright Morning Star. It is the last name we find in this series, the last name in the Bible that we find of Jesus. And it is the perfect ending. It's the perfect ending to this series. It's the perfect ending to the Bible. Because actually, it's all about a new beginning. In that passage we heard, it's the beginning and the end, the first and the last. The Bright Morning Star is the end of this thing, but it is the beginning of something else. And we're going to look at that as we look at this today. So obviously, this Bright Morning Star, we find it in Revelation 22, right after the Root and the Offspring of David. Jesus gives himself these names, or reveals, perhaps more accurately, his names to us. The Root and Offspring of David and the Bright Morning Star. So the context is very much the same as last week. So if you were here, you know, Geoff did the Root and Offspring of David. If you didn't hear it, go and listen to it. I'm not going to go into detail in the context, but it is important we remember what it is. Because the whole of Revelation is essentially boils down to Jesus is coming again. Okay? But in this passage, in 22, there's something added. It's Jesus is coming again, and it's soon. Yeah, his soon is obviously very different from my soon, because it's been 2,000 years. But he's got a bit of a sort of understanding of what soon is than I do, I'm very sure. So it is that Jesus is coming again, and he's coming soon. And it's so important that we remember that as we look at this name, the Bright Morning Star. Now, the Bright Morning Star appears in a number of other places in Scripture. Not very many, but a few, maybe about three or so. The first one is in Numbers, right the way back in the Torah, like the beginning of the Bible. In Numbers 24, we find this first name of Jesus given by a really weird prophet. All right, Numbers 24, if you want to look it up, Numbers 22, it gets even weirder. But he is a very, very strange prophet, and he says, out of Jacob, out of the star will come out of Jacob. Now, the Jews, under hearing this for the first time, would have immediately leapt to their Torah because they knew it so well. They would have leapt upon this messianic prophecy that Jesus is saying, I am the Messiah. Which we kind of like, I feel like we read this and we sort of go, we know. Like, you've said it a number of times, we know. But think about it from this point of view. The Jews today are still waiting for their Messiah. You know, Jesus was trying to eliminate all doubt, constantly going back to the scriptures in the Old Testament, saying, look, this is what it said. I am he. He is the star of Jacob, the one, the messianic prophecy that was given then, that a star would come out of Jacob, a ruler from David's line. He is naming himself that and showing us right the way at the end that he was there right at the beginning as well, the Bright Morning Star. There are a couple of other places, especially in the letters in the New Testament, where the Bright Morning Star is kind of referenced, but we're not going to look at those because, frankly, they were really confusing. Like, Revelation isn't confusing enough. I didn't think it'd be worth going in there, just because everything we can find out from those, we can find out just by looking at his name. Just when we take a time to look at what it is that Jesus is the star, what it is that Jesus is the morning star, what it is that Jesus is the bright morning star, we can discover everything we would have found in those passages as well. If you want to know what they are, you can come and ask me afterwards and you can go and look at them. But that's how we're going to look at it today. We're going to look at Jesus as the star, as the morning star, and as the bright morning star, and how that affects who we are and who we understand him to be. Now, I have to put a disclaimer in at the beginning here. I did something this week with this sermon that I have never done before, and I don't know why I've never done it before. Because what I did was I asked some young people what they thought. Just in the conversations this week, I just said to them, look, I'm preaching on the bright morning star on Sunday, Jesus being the bright morning star. What do you think it means? And I got a number of different answers. And the reason I tell you this is because I'm going to share some of them, and they will accuse me of plagiarism. So I thought I'd cite it at the beginning, we're referenced up, and I'm all good to go. So we're going to look at what it is that Jesus is the star. So let's start by looking at the stars. I don't know what you would think when you hear the word stars. If I was to ask you to think of one word, and I'm going to do it now, but I don't want your answers, okay? But I'm just going to ask you now, just for a moment, I'm going to say stars. I wonder what word came into your mind when you think of it. For me, the word that always comes into my mind is beautiful. You know, the stars are beautiful. You know, growing up where I grew up in Hornchurch, you know, we lived on the outskirts of London. If you just looked down the tube line from my front window, it was just an orange glow at night. Just light, that's all you could see. And you looked up and there were like maybe Orion's Belt, maybe the Big Dipper if you were lucky. You didn't really see a lot. And I remember the first time when I went to Soul Survivor, I sat in the field at Bath and West Showground. I looked up and I was like, oh my goodness, there are a lot of stars. Like, I thought there was like three, but there's loads. And I was blown away by their beauty, by the sheer number of them. And being Soul Survivor, I was like, God, this is incredible. They are so beautiful. I've got a couple of pictures for us to look at. I don't know if you can kind of see too well on the screens. And these are obviously enhanced. They are enhanced because our eyes aren't capable of seeing, but that is what is there. Once you enhance the photo, if we had better eyes, this is what you would see in the night sky. It's beautiful. Do you want to go to the next one? That one, the picture of the Milky Way. Again, don't get me wrong, these are enhanced so we can see them, but that is what we would see if we were able. This is the beauty of the stars. The stars are just unbelievably beautiful, like unfathomably beautiful. What does that mean, that Jesus is the bright morning star? It means that Jesus is beautiful. Now, I don't know how you feel about me saying that. I feel weird, frankly. I feel weird saying that Jesus is beautiful because beauty isn't something you usually ascribe to a man, is it? Like, even an attractive man, you don't go, oh, he looks beautiful. It's just something in our culture doesn't do that. To say a man is beautiful is just kind of strange. Even, you know, even taking aside the fact that in Isaiah it says that Jesus would be nothing special to look at, not those exact words, but there would be nothing in his appearance that would draw us to him. You know, even taking that aside, it's weird to call a man beautiful. And so I struggled with even to put this in because I was like, everyone will think I'm weird. And not only will everyone think I'm weird, but I feel weird saying it. But it wasn't, and so I really did think, oh, I'll just leave that aside, until I thought, I'll look up the definition of beauty. So I looked up the definition of beauty, and it's a combination of qualities that we find desirable. And in that moment, I suddenly realized I'd started in entirely the wrong place. It is difficult to call Jesus beautiful because here, what I'm trying to do is take my cultural understanding of what beauty is and apply it to Jesus. You know, I've got this cultural understanding of beauty, and if you want to know what that is, you can just look at my wife. That is my cultural understanding of beauty. But I'm trying to apply that to Jesus, and it doesn't quite fit. That doesn't make sense. And then I realised I'm starting in entirely the wrong place because where I should be starting is with Jesus. He is the definition of beauty. Surely if it is a combination of qualities that we find desirable, all of that is found in Jesus. Which means the definition of beauty I'm applying is wrong. I should be starting with Jesus. I've started this whole sermon wrong. I started saying, let's look at the stars and find out what they tell us about Jesus. I should have started, let's look at Jesus and see what he says about the stars. You know, he is the definition of beauty for us. Here's what it should be. And the reason I carried on sort of putting it in here, the reason I felt we needed to hear it is because we need to be a people who define beauty by the bright morning star. That should be our definition of beauty. None more so than when we look in the mirror. When we look in the mirror and we go, oh, look, I'm fat. Oh, look, I've got a huge nose. Oh, look, I'm losing my hair. Maybe that's just me. But we shouldn't look in the mirror and see those things. We should be looking and going, hang on, that's how the world defines beauty. Hang on, let's look. Is love a part of who I am? You know? I know this is confusing. So, you know, there's a really good way I've figured out of thinking about it that challenges that cultural beauty and that beauty that we find in Jesus. And it's all to do with the resurrection. Okay, now I've struggled with the resurrection for years. Not the actual resurrection, that's fine. It was this moment where Jesus appears to his disciples. Okay, he is firstborn from the dead, brand new body, eternal body, sinless. Well, he was always sinless, but sickless. He can't be sick. He's not, doesn't get sick because his body is new. It's this eternal body. It's perfect. It's never going to die. He's the first one to receive this body that we will all receive. And yet when he goes to his disciples, well, first of all, he appears in the middle of the room. I'm looking forward to doing that. You know, no doors, just boom, there you are. He manages to do that with this new body, but then he shows them his scars and they touch it. And I'm like, hang on, he's got this new body. Like, why has he got scars if it's his new body? Am I going to wake up in my eternal body and go, oh, look, there's where I got myself with a cheese grater? Are we going to keep these scars? But then I don't know whether somebody told me or I realized his scars are beautiful. They're not beauty as we would understand it. They're not necessarily aesthetically pleasing. But when we look at them, what we see is compassion. What we see is love. What we see is sacrifice. Those scars set me free. There's beauty in those scars. Where the world would say they're ugly, we see the qualities that we desire. Love, compassion, sacrifice, and freedom in his scars. When we look in the mirror, why do we look at the outside when we should be looking for those qualities? Is compassion written on everything that I am? Is love the thing that people feel when they meet me? Is freedom written on my hands as I do things? This is the beauty that we should seek to cultivate in ourselves and the beauty that we should seek to find and cultivate in the world. The morning star, the bright morning star, is beautiful. In fact, so much so that I wonder if I can ever call anything beautiful again, because he is the definition of it. And so I would say here today, Jesus is beautiful, and I don't feel weird about it anymore. Jesus is beautiful. The morning star is beautiful. But let's go back to the stars. I know it's flawed to start with the stars, but let's just do it, because that's what I've done, so tough. We're going to go and look at the stars again. Let's get a little bit closer. Okay, so this is our star, the one at the center of our solar system. You know, you look at it and you get closer and you think, wow, yeah, do you know what? That is beautiful, isn't it? You look at it, it's beautiful. And then suddenly, you know, in a moment, you'll see like a solar flare just coming up over there. But you watch it and you think it's beautiful. And then suddenly you think, flipping hell. Like that is a scale of, that's a nuclear fusion reaction. It is beyond powerful. I can't even fathom how powerful that actually is. That is megaton nuclear bombs going off on the surface every single second. That thing there is just unbelievably powerful. And there, that's us. I cannot get my head around how big that is, how powerful that is. I cannot understand. And that is a medium-sized star. There are stars out there that you could put our star the size of the Earth next to. The stars are unbelievably powerful. I cannot quite get my head around the sheer enormity of their power, their majesty, their ferocity. And yet, the bright morning star taught those to shine. And the bright morning star, they were made by his power. They were made through him. Without him, nothing that has been made would have been made. The bright morning star is powerful. And yet, you know, we've looked at that through a number of these different names. We know that Jesus is powerful. But for me, the understanding that of him as the bright morning star puts that into a different perspective, puts that into a different scale of just how powerful he is. He holds those in his hand. Those ridiculously powerful stars are nothing compared to him. And whereas, as humankind, we can never hope to get anywhere near that star. It is just too powerful for us to get near. Yet, the one who made it draws us close. The bright morning star actually draws us close and calls us son and daughter, brother and sister. It's nuts. Absolutely nuts. His power is unbelievable. What should we fear in this world when the bright morning star is ours? Powerful. Beautiful and powerful. Now, here's where our young people have kind of stepped in to share with us a little bit. So, as I said, I was talking with a few this week, and I just said, you know, I'm preaching on this. what do you think the bright morning star means? What does it mean that Jesus is that? And I was talking to one person. They text me a little while later and said, I've been thinking about it. And I was thinking, the stars guide us, don't they? I was like, yeah. Yeah, the stars guide us. You know, and Jesus guides us. You know, the stars for years have been used, for thousands of years, have been used for navigation. They're how we navigate our way through this world. It's to look at the stars, their positions, and go where we need to go. They make sense of where we are so we can know where we're going to go. They guide us. And in the same way, Jesus, the bright morning star, he guides us. He helps us make sense of what is going on so that we can move forward. He is the way by which we navigate this world. I love that we sang the way earlier because I was like, oh, God, you're so amazing. You put a song in that fit in exactly what I'm saying and what you're saying through me, hopefully. He guides us. He is the way. He is the way that we go, he's the way we navigate this world. And he does that through his word. He guides us through his word. He guides us through his spirit. And he guides us by his example. And there's so many ways. And for so long, we could talk about how he guides us. And if you want to talk to some of the guys doing Alpha, I'm sure they'll tell you about the five CSs, the way that God guides us. But he is the bright morning star, and he guides us. And we spent ages looking at it. But again, I struggled to put that into what we're talking about today. Because even though it's right, even though I know it's true, I've been in a situation the last few weeks where I've been trying to find God's guidance because everything I feel like I'm doing is just not quite working, not quite fitting in the way I thought it was going to, not quite happening the way I hoped it would. And so I've just been spending time just like, God, where are you showing me? Jesus, bright morning star, show me which way to go. And I've been struggling because I can't see, because I haven't been able to see. Like, it's like he's gone behind a cloud or something and I can't see where he needs me to go, where he wants me to go. And it was into that situation that another young person spoke this week. I was sitting having lunch with them and asked them, you know, what does the bright morning star mean? What does it mean that Jesus is the bright morning star? And they went, I don't know. And I was like, no, let's keep going. And then they went, well, they're always there, aren't they? Yeah, they're always there. Whether it's night or day, the stars are still there. They're still shining. Whether it's day or night, whether it's clear or cloudy, the stars are still shining. The stars are still there, and the bright morning star is still there, even still guiding us, even when we can't see him. Even when we're struggling because we're like, he's behind a cloud, I can't see him. Even when we're struggling, it doesn't mean for a second that he is not still there. And I implore you, if you are sat there this morning and maybe you've never seen the bright morning star, or maybe you're sitting there and you're like, I feel like I saw Jesus and I've known him for years, but right now I feel like he's behind a cloud and I don't know where he's telling me to go and I don't know where he is. Can I ask you and implore you to not leave this place feeling like that anymore? Okay, I'm not saying that we can fix it, but I'm saying there are people here you can pray with who will pray that God reveals himself, that maybe you need to get yourself above the clouds. Maybe you need to get yourself into a place where you can see him. But don't leave this place feeling like that. Grab a prayer team member. Ask somebody to pray with you. I'm not promising that it will work. I'm not promising that those clouds will be lifted. But what I am promising is that even in that place, Jesus is still there. Even when you can't see him, even when you're desperate and you can't find him for some whatever reason, he is still there. You know, and I don't say this out of a get help people. I this week had to do that. I had to go to somebody and say, look, I need prayer. Look, I need you to help me. I need to just unload this so that I can see Jesus again. Put myself in a place where the clouds are gone. Don't go home. That's what we're meant to be community for. You know, get some prayer. The bright morning star is beautiful. He is powerful. He's always there and he guides us. But let's leave the stars behind now and let's look at the morning star. See, the morning star is an actual celestial body. Like, it's a specific thing. When the people heard this, that Jesus is the bright morning star, into their minds, hopefully, would have popped the morning star as they knew it. It's a star that rises just before the dawn. You know, I've got a picture of it there. It's just to the right of the moon there. It becomes really bright and appears right before the dawn. In fact, actually, we know what that is now. We know what that kind of star is. And we've discovered as well that it is also the star that at certain times of the year, at certain places, it appears just after sunset. At that point, it's the same thing, but it's called the evening star. The morning star, the evening star, the Alpha, the Omega. So cool. But this is the morning star. Let's go back and have a look at the morning star. This is what they would have understood as the morning star. But the problem is, When I researched what the Morning Star is, I came across a real issue. It's not actually a star. Eek. It's actually the planet Venus. It appears in the morning just like that, and that's what they named it, the Morning Star. And then I thought, oh, rats, has this ruined my sermon? Am I going to have to go back and go, oh, no, forget it. Can't do the star thing now because it's a planet. But no, I decided no, partly because I wasn't starting again. But partly because I realised that actually the idea that Jesus is named for Venus is ridiculous. Venus is named for Jesus. You know, Venus is a morning star. Jesus is the morning star. He had that name before Venus was even made. You know, he is the morning star and all the richness of what it means to be a star. Even though Venus itself is just a fake. It's actually a planet. But actually, I'll go so far as it's not only kind of like, it actually informs our understanding. You know, so much of the time when we look at Revelation, I feel like I'm going, now we don't get this, but the people who were listening would have understood immediately that, but for once, I feel like we know something they don't, okay? I feel like for once, our understanding of science has helped us to understand something amazing about this name of God. And it's this, you see, planets, unlike stars, are actually really bad at helping us with directions. You know, they're really bad because they wander. Okay, planets tend to move around, whereas stars are much more fixed. They obviously move, but they're much more fixed. And so it's useless, really, for kind of setting courses, navigating, that sort of thing. But I discovered something quite amazing. That even though planets are not very good, in fact, actually, quick aside, the morning star, Venus, is also known, while it's also known the evening star, it's also known as the shepherd star, because it wanders. But how beautiful is that again? But anyway, even though it's a planet, it can still be used for direction. Because one thing planets are really good at when it comes to navigation is helping us keep a straight course. And I was like, oh, how cool is that? Something they wouldn't have got immediately. Yes, Jesus as the bright morning star helps us and guides us, but actually he is the way by which we keep on a straight and narrow path. The means by which we keep our eyes fixed on the bright morning star and just run towards him. You know, this is what it means for him to be the bright morning star. We just keep heading towards him. And the thing that really winds me up about us, all of us, or maybe it's just me, but is that so often we know we want to follow that star. We know we want to stay on the straight and narrow, and we sometimes get it wrong. And we veer off, and we end up sinning. And that's, you know, that's part of being human. It sucks, but it's part of being human. But what comes next is what is so annoying. We hide. Instead of looking back to the bright morning star and running again and getting back on that straight and narrow road, we hide. You know, just saying, we punish ourselves saying, God doesn't want to be close to me because I screwed up doing that thing that I do all the time. I've sinned and therefore I'm going to stay away from God for a bit. When the best thing to do is obviously to look at the bright morning star and run towards him again. You know, I'd say it's just me, but then I look at scripture and I find the story of Adam and Eve. You know, who sinned, who ate the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then they heard God walking through the garden. And what they should have done at that moment is run to him. Run to him knowing they'd screwed up, knowing that he was the only one who could fix it. But what did they do? They hid. And 2,000 or thousands of years later, I'm doing the same thing. Every time I screw up, instead of running towards, I run away. But he's the bright morning star, the way by which our course is kept straight. He keeps us on course. And so we should fix our eyes and run. And this just finds its beauty in the crux of what the bright morning star is, of who he is as the morning star. You see, the morning star heralds the dawn. The morning star is the thing that tells you the dawn is on its way. And what this is saying is he keeps us on course. He's saying it's almost as if Jesus, the bright morning star, is saying to us, come. Keep running towards me. Keep going. Keep running. Keep on this course because the dawn is on its way. The dawn is coming. That's what the morning star does. It heralds the dawn. It tells you the dawn is coming. And the dawn Jesus is talking about, it's not just a new day. It's the new day. It's the dawn of eternity. The dawn of every tear being wiped from our eyes. The dawn of no more sin, no more sickness, no more injustice, and no more death. Where death will just be a memory of what happened before. This new dawn that Jesus is coming. This is what he's doing as the bright morning star. He's saying the dawn is coming and it's coming soon. We go back to the context. This is it. Jesus, the bright morning star, the dawn is coming, and it is coming soon. But it's not here yet. And it's obvious, isn't it? You know, as we look around the world, it just feels, I don't know about you, but it just feels like it's getting darker by the day. You know, you look around, and this week, as I've been preparing this, saw the cyclone in Australia, which was really weird because Nan and I were actually in those places a year ago, those literal places, and just seeing them wiped out. You know, you turn on, you see governments just gaining more power and hurting the poor and the needy. You see murder, war, just injustice everywhere, and it just feels like the world is getting darker and darker. But actually, that should come as no surprise to us, because the night is always darkest right before the dawn. The dawn is on its way. And of course it's getting darker. Of course the world is getting darker, because the dawn is getting closer, closer and closer. It is coming soon. This is what Jesus is saying, as he is the bright morning star. The dawn is coming, and it is coming soon. What does it mean that Jesus is the bright morning star? You see, nowhere in this passage and nowhere in anywhere else in when we look at the bright morning star is there this idea that the bright morning star is rising or that it has not yet risen. In every sense of the word, the bright morning star has risen. In every sense, the bright morning star has risen. Right now, the bright morning star is shining brightly. He is, we can see him. If we hadn't seen him, we wouldn't be here this morning. We have seen the bright morning star. We have seen his goodness. We have seen his compassion. We have seen his love. We have seen his sacrifice. We have seen, even in this dark world, those moments where he has shone and brightness has come. We have seen that, but the rest of the world is asleep. We've seen it because we're awake. Because we've seen him, we notice him, we see him there, but the rest of the world is asleep. There will come a day when the dawn comes where everyone will wake. Everyone will wake up and they will see who he is. And they will see and they will bow and they will confess that Jesus is Lord. But for now, we see it, but they sleep. Church, it's our job to wake them up. It's our job to wake them up, but not wake them up out of a sense of like, be worried because the dawn's coming. You better watch out because the dawn's coming. But we should wake them up like children waking up their parents on Christmas Day. You know, coming into the bedroom, wake up, the day's here. Wake up, it's nearly time. Wake up, everything I've been wanting is just about to happen. Wake up because the bright morning star has risen and the sun is coming again. That is it. That is what it is, that Jesus is the bright morning star. He heralds that the dawn is on its way. And what does the church say? What does it say here? The Spirit and the church say, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Let us make that our prayer. Father, we just thank you so much for your Son. That you would put your fullness of who you are as God into you, into Jesus. That Jesus, you would be fully human and fully God. That you would come and bear the weight of our sin on the cross and gain those scars of beauty for us. And we thank you that you have risen, that you are risen now and shining in this dark world. And we pray that we will be a people that wake others up. To see the brightness of you in this world now, that they might be ready for the dawn. Jesus, bright morning star, we love you. We thank you. And we pray you would come soon. Amen.
Thank you, Chris, for bringing that with such passion this morning. I hope you've really enjoyed looking at Revelation. And if it hasn't done anything else, I hope it's kind of encouraged you to look at the book again with new eyes and see Jesus in perhaps a new and greater way. We're going to sing one last song together, which kind of closes off this series and this service together. There is a place where the streets shine with the glory of the Lamb. There's a way we can go there. We can live there beyond time. No more pain, no more sadness, no more suffering, no more tears, no more sin, no more sickness, no injustice, no more death. There is joy everlasting, there's gladness, there's peace, there's wine ever flowing, there's a wedding, there's a feast.